Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center, and I, along with Dr. Betty Kovac, author of Merchants of Light and The Miracle of Death, as well as Forever Family Foundation certified medium, Janet Mayer, author of Spirits, They Are Present, welcome you to our show, where tonight it's all about you. We want to hear from you about your personal experiences, your dreams, your visions, your after-death communications. We'd love to hear your story. So before I give you the call-in numbers for that sharing, I have a few announcements. First, on March 17th is the Medium Explosion webinar. That webinar is based on Robert Ginsberg's new book. And the details and registration are available on the Forever Family Foundation.org website on their events page. Bob will be the presenter, and he will be discussing all aspects of the mediumship process. Also, regarding the grief retreat in Connecticut in July, we are sad to announce that it is sold out. So those who haven't yet registered won't be able to attend, but please know that the next grief retreat after the July in Connecticut will be in Fort Myers, Florida, and that will be in January. So keep your eye on the calendar, please. And all events and webinars are on the website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. The call-in numbers for tonight are 888-627-6008 and 323-744-4831. And speaking of the Medium Explosion webinar, reminds me of a good story I'd read in the Medium Explosion, the new book, and I thought you might like to hear this story. Bob and Fran's daughter, Bailey, had a best friend, and she and her best friend at 12 years old had made a pact that they would share a sign, make up a sign so that when one passed, the other one would know when she had heard and actually received some communication from the other. So after the funeral, Allie had communicated to Fran that when she had returned home, she found in her bedroom, standing up on her keyboard, a blue magic marker, which was Bailey's sign that she had committed to leave for Allie. So she hadn't had a blue magic marker, and no one else in her family had been in her room or knew anything else about this magic marker that magically appeared. So that was one of the many things that Bob has shared in this explosive new book.
Yes, I love the book, The Medium Explosion, and it starts out with Bob's telling the story of how he had felt about mediums before his daughter died. He was golfing with a friend of his whose wife had died, and his friend was telling him that he had gone to a medium and was telling him in detail what had happened. Bob came home and told friend he thought his friend had gone round the bend. I mean, it was just a bit much because he didn't think of anything of all of that. But after Bailey died, I mean, that magic marker story is one of my favorite stories, but he and Fran started having so many experiences, and then they did experience Bailey through a medium and other ways as well. But he talks about all kinds of mediums in this book and what you might want to do if you're planning to see one. It just has all the information you could possibly want about mediums, positive and negative.
So great. So. Janet, how are you this evening?
Janet, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, we hear you
okay.
now.
Okay, I didn't know if you could hear me. Yes, I'm doing well, and I wanted to add something to the Medium Explosion book. I was really glad that Bob wrote this book because it does give a lot of information about mediums. And like you said, it's the good and the bad. But there was one part, coming from a medium perspective, as I do, I really liked reading a lot of the different stories from some of the other mediums as well that Bob, put in there. But there was one thing that I thought was... There was one thing that was really, really, that stood out for me, and it was one line that Laura Lynn had written in the book and or wrote to Bob, and she had put that, people a lot of times think mediums, psychics are mediums, and they're not necessarily a medium. You can be psychic and not be a medium, or you can be, if you're a medium, you're also psychic. And she had written down that, if you're getting messages psychically, you're retrieving information. But if you're coming from a mediumistic area, it's you're receiving information. And it hit me because I'm like, yeah, that is exactly it. That's you couldn't say it any perfectly. And she said that, and I thought that was really cool. But then I started reading, all the other stories, and I really like how the angle that Bob comes from because he did want to know what, he saw, fraudulent mediums. He had, good mediums. And I think that, some of the stories in here really stood out because it also shows you how different mediums are. We all come from a different place and a different angle.
Yes, really enjoyed that, too.
Yeah, it shows you the personality. And, everybody's different. Just like, you're different, Betty. You're different, Kimberly. I'm different. And, you're going to get a different read whoever you go to. So I really like that he put this book out, and I think it will really help a lot of people and, while they're grieving and to help them, if nothing else, just to give them a little bit of peace of mind, maybe. And I think so, too.
We have someone on the phone. Janine, is that?
Janine from Maine is with us. Good evening, yes. Janine.
Oh, good.
Janine, are you there?
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
If you could speak up a little louder, that would be helpful.
Okay, I'll try to do my best. Yeah. So I'm talking to, who am I speaking with?
Kimberly, Betty, and Janet.
All three. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, for all the ears here.
Oh, wow. This is my first time, so I've never done this before. So do you want me to share my experience?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, it's a little bit of a long story, but it's amazing. I lost my daughter, Natalia, almost 8 years ago. And, we were best friends, just very, very, very close. We have a very tight family. She died from leukemia, complications from leukemia. We didn't expect that she would pass, but it was kind of unexpected.
Sorry.
And I was always worried because I didn't know if I prepared her enough, for what was to come. But anyway, I see signs all the time from her. She was always leaving me love notes and all kinds of things. But there's so many amazing stories. I want to share them all. But this is one huge story that just I have to share with someone.
Great.
I started a foundation in her honor, and I've been working. She made angels for little girls and boys at the hospital just to make them happy. And she just had this thing about angels she loved long before she even got sick. She just had this knack to make other people happy. There was something about her that I knew from the very beginning, from the time, even before she was born. I just felt this compelling force that was far greater than myself, and I have two older sons, two boys, but it was just something about her that just drew me in, and I just kind of stood back and just let her shine and admired her from a distance. I never tried to put a lot of, on her, but I just admired her. But anyway, long and short, after she passed away, there were several different signs, several different things that I can tell you, but there was one huge thing that I just absolutely have to share with the world. I just feel so, so compelled. So I was watching TV one day, and I saw this, it was on an after-evening show, this woman, a local woman that actually she opened a local shop. She was from New York City. I live in Maine. She moved to Maine, and she made this. She was a famous clothing designer. And I started listening to her, and it was just like, I don't know, for some reason, I just stopped what I was doing, drew me in, and I just like, wow, this woman is really amazing. And I was watching some of the things that she did, and, you know, the shop that she opened. And so anyway, I got online, and I looked up her website afterward, and I was enthralled by, you know, her whole, she was very spiritual. Yeah. Can you hear me okay? Okay.
Yeah.
She's just very spiritual, and she drew me in, her whole everything that she did, her clothing and her demeanor, just by looking at what she did for the community. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Oh, okay, good. So anyway, so I said, I got done looking at it, and I said to my husband that night, I said, I'm going to go see her. I just have to go see her, and I'm going to bring her one of Natalia's angels. So I looked at me like, why would you do that? And I said, I don't know. I feel like I really have to do this. I feel I want to do this, you know. So the next day I got up and I went in, and she wasn't at her shop, so I left it on her desk. The people there said, you know, you want to leave it on desk? I said, love to. And I wrote a note for her and explained. I said, you know, I'm leaving this angel, and I explained I lost my daughter, and I just feel there's some reason I just feel really drawn to you, and I don't know why, but I just feel like I really needed to do this. And I don't know if you can help me in what I'm doing, spread my foundation and the Thais message, but I just feel that, you know, I just need to do this today, and it's just really, really important. And I don't want anything on this. I'm not expecting anything, but I just want to leave this angel. So I left them the message and the angel, and probably a couple days later she returned and she called me and she wanted to meet with me. And so I met with her, and I found a book that my daughter had finished, and it was a book that she had what she wanted to be when she grew up, and she wanted to, you know, she liked to draw, and one of the things that she wanted to be when she grew up was a fashion designer. So I brought the book with me to meet this lady, and I go, this is why I'm here, I guess. Natalia, she wanted to be a fashion designer, and I told her, I feel so compelled to meet you. And I said, I can't explain the feeling that I feel, but I'm just, you know, I just have to do this. So anyway, so I felt so good about the thing, you know, the whole thing. And she said, well, come on into my shop. You know, I'll take you in someday. Maybe if you'd like, I can help you with some of the angels. Well, I can put some of Natalia's angels in my shop, and we can put them up, you know, put them there for people. You know, and I said, that's amazing. I would really like that. And so I was kind of torn, because what I do it as it's a foundation I do, and I don't sell the angels. I do it for donation, and there was a feeling about it that just didn't feel really right about putting them in a shop to sell, but I thought, well, I'll think about it. So anyway, about a week later, I went into the shop, and she wasn't there, and I dropped a whole bunch of angels off, and there was a manager there. She said, oh, I'll take, you know, I explained to her, and I said, I'll take these for you. So she took them, and she said, I'll find a place to put them. You know, I said, okay. So I felt kind of weird. I left the angels went home, and then about a week later, I stopped by the shop. And it was happened to be 2 days before Easter, or no, the day before Easter. It was on a Saturday. So I went in there to just kind of see what the angels looked like in the shop, and see, you know, to talk to the lady. And the manager was there again this time, not the owner that I met. And she says, I walked in the door, and she said to me, she said, you want to see my favorite display in the whole shop? And I said, sure. She took me back, and she had made a beautiful display of Natalia's angels and everything. She had it look so nice. And she's standing there talking to me, and I just kind of was in awe of what she did. And all of a sudden she said to me, she said, this is going to sound really weird. And I looked at her, and I didn't know what she was talking about. And then all of a sudden she said, Natalia didn't like her hair pulled back, did she? And I looked at her, and she never knew Natalia. The only time she knew me was when I walked in the shop. And she said, no, she didn't like her hair pulled back. And I started tearing up right away, and I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, she said, your aunt's up right now is trying to fix her hair, And she doesn't like it pulled back, and she doesn't want it pulled back. And I looked at her, and I said, my aunt. And I haven't, my aunt passed away probably, Natalia passed away probably 15 years after my aunt passed away. My aunt's been gone for a long time. But I grew up with her. She was like a grandmother to me. And she said, yeah, your aunt. She said, kind of salt, pepper hair, tall. And all of a sudden, I just started crying because she described her to a T. And she said, yeah, she's trying to pull Natalia's hair back, and she won't let her. She said, yeah, she said, you know your aunt. She said, the one that you used to love the smell when you were little, used to smell her flowers in her yard. And I lost it. I just was completely, there's no connection between her. There's no connection. Natalia never met my aunt. There was absolutely no connection. And just the cues that she brought up was the fact about the hair, because Natalia used to hate to have her hair pulled back.
But I wanted to ask.
Oh, my gosh. She'd get mad at me because I'd try to put it in a ponytail, and she'd yell for her dad because I was being rough on her, you know, pulling her hair back. And it was just like, my gosh. And I was bawling I'm standing there in the shop crying, and I'm just like, and when she mentioned the flowers were something that I never even thought about. It was something that my aunt must have remembered about me. I forgot all about the flowers. I didn't even think about it. It had been 40 years almost, you know. It was like, and here this comes up. So
then that experience really brought you close to both of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
So
yes.
Anyway, the next thing was I started walking, and I wasn't even like, and then I said to her, I said, oh, my gosh, this is the greatest gift you could give me right now. I said, my son's having a little trouble in college. He was my oldest son was in college. And I said, you know, he's been having some trouble. And she goes, don't worry, he's fine. He'll be fine. And I go, what are you talking about? She said, your dad. No, it's not your dad. Your husband. He had a dad that just passed, like, recently. And then I said, yeah, he's right with him. And she described him to a T. And,
oh, my gosh.
I mean,
well,
it was unbelievable. And she said to me,
that's amazing. That is so amazing. And we have another caller, Nick. Otherwise, I'd want to press you to have more stories of how she
I got one more thing. On the way out the door, she says to me, oh, by the way, she said, Natalia told me not to tell you not to forget her bunny in the basket that we put on her grave. Nobody would have ever known it. She came up with it. Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't even solicit
wonderful.
It. It just came on me. So anyway, I just had
that
to share
wonderful.
That. Just,
yes,
nobody believes me, but it's unbelievable. So thank you for listening.
Wow.
Well, we are so glad
we're
to hear
grateful.
That story.
Thank you for calling
it's simply
in.
Beautiful, and that kind of story just inspires all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm writing a book, and I'm going to write a book about it. So.
Good. That's very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
One of the best things you can do is share these stories.
Yeah, we must share them.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you
so
Janine.
Much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow. Beautiful
Nick,
story.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you well. Mick's calling from Illinois.
Okay. I live in Chicago, or the Chicago area. I have a question, not an experience, although the previous caller had some pretty profound experience. I've been working on trying to develop my experiences, so to speak. So I've been doing a lot with trying to do self-hypnosis or guided meditation using the repository of all information, YouTube. Excuse me. And one of the things that struck me is I wanted to try to experience a past life regression. And I've been doing a lot of searching for some guided meditations or self-hypnosis. I hit one with a guy named Bruce Weiss. I don't know if you know who he is. But,
no, I don't.
He was,
Brian Weiss?
Brian Weiss, that's it.
Brian.
I
do know. He's the past.
He did a. I've listened to his guided meditation a couple of times, and there's something he said in there. He tries to get you to remember a childhood experience and focus on that. And then at one point he asked the question, why did you choose those parents? Why did you choose your parents? And I find that to be a very profound question. But it hit me. When I look at what's going on in Syria, or if I go back and think back to the Holocaust or these other awful things, why would anybody choose parents who are going to experience something as dreadful as what's going on in Syria? If I were going to reincarnate, if you will, I would pick a parent who's lived in a nice community and was raised in a nice family. I wouldn't choose a parent who was going to live in a war-torn messed up area. Does my question make any sense? Why would somebody do that?
Well, I think from there, and I'm sure Janet will have something to say too, but from the perspective before we're actually here in time and space, I think our choices are based on so many things that we don't think of here. You know, the suffering, I don't know. But I think that the parents we choose from the other side, we choose for very different reasons than we would come up with here. But Janet, maybe you have a response.
Yeah, I wish I had a definitive response, but I don't, because I don't know. But, you know, the thing that I always feel is that when we come here, you know, really we're here for such a long, extended period of time when we really aren't. You know, it's kind of a snap of a finger. We're here and we're back, you know, to the other side. And so I think we come into this life looking for experiences, looking for different things at different times in our life. You know, I don't know why the things are happening the way they do. I don't know why, you know, this past year has happened. But I think that we do, you know, come in and we have an idea of having what we want to have, certain experiences. Now, that isn't to say, you know, why do we pick our parents? I don't know that. You know, I wish, like I said, I wish I did know. But, you know, I totally feel like this is a thing that it's such a short period of time that we're here, that we're really here to have an experience and to understand and to come in with people we know. And, you know, they always say, like, you know, it's a soul group. And I feel like I have met so many people across the United States who are part of my soul group, and I don't live anywhere near them, but they're part of my group. And I feel like, you know, I've known them before, but uh-huh. I'm not having the experiences they're having because they're in a different area. So who's to say that we end up where we're supposed to end up? You know, maybe there's a lot of options out there that we didn't realize, or we don't know, or we can make choices. So in that sense, you know, that's the only thing I can offer you. But, you know, I don't have an exact answer. I wish I did.
Well, you know, I've heard so many people say that, well, I shouldn't say so many, but some very powerful responses that they certainly did not choose their parents. Thank you very much. And I don't know about that either, but there's always the opportunity to learn on very deep levels, whether
exactly.
It's people who are not developed and you wish they were, or not working on it, or people who have suffered deeply. But, yeah, I guess in order to be honest, we have to say, ultimately, we don't know.
Yeah, the great philosophical question.
Yeah, it
right?
is. It's right.
Some of them are not
okay.
really definitively, I think,
yeah,
answerable
just very
universally.
Hard, yeah. Yeah, I often think about that myself, you know. I consider lots of different aspects and wonder, but I think I could figure out a lot of reasons why I did choose the parents I chose, but in another situation I might not be able to at all. So.
Right. Well, and you know, Betty had said something in her book that I always, it sticks with me, is that, and I wrote this down, I discovered that my intention activated the path to discovery and experience. So are we making an intention, of course, before we even come here, of what we want to choose and what we want to experience? And maybe we're feeling like from the other side, we know what we're going back to. We know we're going to be okay. So, you know, are we here for, we're here to, you know, experience love in a lot of different ways. And unfortunately, there's light and dark. There's on both sides. So, you know, that makes a difference too. But I think there, it's not just one answer. I think there's a lot of different aspects to this question.
Okay. Yeah, well, the intention, yes, because we intend our lives on the other side before we come into being in time and space. So I'm sure that there, of course, there are probably many choices that we make or at least set up as possibilities, given what happens once we get here. Huh, Nick, it's quite a question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, we didn't give you any great insight.
Well, we're going to ponder that tonight.
Well, thanks for calling in, Nick.
All right. Sorry I didn't have an experience to share with you, but maybe I'll have one soon. I'm still working
well,
on it.
Well, then when you do, call us.
That's right.
That's
sure
right. And keep working on it. Keep meditating.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have another caller on the line. We have Michaela from New York with us now. Hi, Michaela.
Michaela?
Hello? Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What do you have to share with us this evening?
Sorry?
What would you like to share? Can you hear us, Michaela?
I don't know.
I think we lost her.
Thank you. Hi, Marie from Oklahoma. How are you this evening, and what would you like to share with us?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I guess I kind of was looking for more clarity on some experiences that I've had since I was little, and I keep searching, like, how to maybe develop those skills or whatever in order to grow them. But, like, since I was little, I have many, many experiences, but as an adult, I can, like, there's one that really stands out the most that I tell people about, and they just can't believe it, but I just don't know where to go with it. I had been living here in Oklahoma for a couple of years, and this specific house that I lived in, there was nobody else in the house but me and my then toddler, who was sleeping, and all of a sudden, in a whole nother room, one of his toys started. It was like a toy that makes sounds. It started, like, going off. And, you know, naturally, I kind of just brushed it off because I thought, you know, I mean, toys do that stuff all the time. But I realized that it kept going. It was like a little ambulance toy, and it just kept going on and on. Actually, it was a fire truck. So it just kept going on and on, and I was like, what the heck? So I got up, but it was one of those toys that if you stick something inside of, to, like, push a pinpoint or whatever, that's when it makes the sound. So basically, if you stuck the driver in the seat and put pressure on it, it would make the sound. So I thought maybe it was in the toy box and being pressured by another toy. So I got up and I went in there, and the toy was not in the toy box. It was sitting on a shelf, and it was making the little fire truck noise. And I kind of stood there for a minute and was like, what the heck? So I walked over there, and it was still making the sound. And I decided I was going to record it because I couldn't understand. There was no, the little fireman was not in the thing. And I was like, I was going to record it because I couldn't understand why I was doing that with no pressure or anything where, you know, on the device that makes it make the noise. So as soon as I turned on the recording on my phone, it stopped making the noise.
Of course.
Right. And I was just like, what in the world? So I went ahead and recorded, like, I was like, look at this, like, I don't understand, and I posted this on social media, whatever. My friends all had a good laugh about it. But things like that always happened in that house and other places, but that was the most recent, and I was just like, I don't understand, like, if these things happen to me, like, how do I grow them and interpret them and figure out what, like, who's trying to contact me or whatever.
Well, you could, first of all, you could start off by telling them thank you for dropping in. You know, I would, you know, that's always a good way to start. And then you can, you know, maybe take time if you have, and, you know, depending on children and how old they are, but if you can take time and try to start meditating and ask them if a loved one is trying to come through and give you a message, and that you will listen for it. You will try to understand it. It could be somebody just dropping in. It could be that simple. Maybe somebody who, you know, lived on that land or lived there before you could just be dropping in and maybe watching over your child. It could be something like that. It could be a relative from, you know, who's passed on, you know, a grandparent or a friend or something, you know, someone watching over and just stopping by to say hi. And, you know, I like the story, and I like that you sharing, you know, with you sharing this, because, you know, I have a lot of odd things that happen around me as well. So I totally get how you feel and how you want to tape it, and then it stops, and you think, of course. And so, you know, I would basically, you know, when something like that happens and it catches your attention, try to stop and try to immediately just say, okay, I'm giddy. I have the message that you're here with me. Thank you. But, you know, if you want to give me something more that I can understand, you know, let me try to, you know, get, if you can send me a dream or a message in some other way that I can understand, I would appreciate that as well. And, you know, I always, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting a little light around you, putting a little positive energy in the house and just saying, you know, I appreciate you coming by, but I don't know what that means. And it could just be simple. It could be something really quick like that, that it's just somebody stopping by, you know. And if you pay attention to that, what happens is it will start happening more around you. You'll be picking up more little things like that here and there. And it's not that you know, you don't have to make a huge deal every time you get it, but just acknowledge it. And, you know, one thing I always tell people is to keep a log, write it down in a journal. You know, this happened on this day at this time. And then, you know, maybe there's a pattern, and maybe that pattern's going to suddenly show you that somebody keeps coming through around a birthday or something that's going on around somebody specific. And then you can kind of get a feel, too, who it might be from. You see what I mean?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, I think...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm finished. Go ahead.
Currently, I'm even more so, like, interested in opening that, because I had a recently very devastating close loss to me, and I see signs all the time, but I just don't know how to interpret them. So I just wonder, like, how if there are messages, I don't want to miss them, if that makes
sense. Well,
you can,
you know, meditating is a really big thing, and I know a lot of people cringe at that and they don't like it, but, you know, really, you become a lot clearer when you take time and give yourself space and give yourself, you know, a place to, you know, go within and find out. And you can do that and meditate. Mm-hmm. There's also classes out there that you can take from different mediums that can tell you how to do that. You know, there's a lot of different ways out there that you can try to, you know, I guess expand on that. But, you know, I'm not going to give you like a whole lesson here. I don't really lesson to give you that quick. But I do know that, you know, there's many Forever Family Foundation mediums I know that give classes. You can even look into it in, you know, also reading a bunch of books. I mean, there are so many books out there that can help you in so many different ways that you might just have like an aha moment that you're like, oh, my gosh, yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly how I felt. And, you know, if you pay attention to, you know, how you feel or what's going on around you and kind of just tune in around you, you know, I'm not saying do that all day, every day, but take some time to sit down and just try to focus. And you can ask a loved one to come through. Ask them to come through in, you know, a way that you will understand. And you can even say whichever sense works the best, whether it's something you see, whether it's, you know, something you hear or feel or, you know, or experience. Or it could be a smell, the same thing. You know, you might pick up a scent and think, oh, my goodness, that's what it is, or that's so-and-so. And you can do it in that kind of, you know, from that angle as well, and that may help too.
Okay, I appreciate that. I actually did order quite a few books here recently, so I have to get into more of those. So,
yeah.
But thank you very much. I very much appreciate your insight.
Well, good. Thank you
for calling in.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Well, Janet, I was just thinking. I'm glad you were here because. Okay.
Oh, lost the buddy.
From New Hampshire. Good evening.
Hi.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Can you speak just a little bit louder?
Yep. I just wanted to share my daughter Haley with you guys.
Sure.
Okay, we're ready.
So I lost my daughter Haley when I was 35 weeks pregnant with her in March 2018. And since then, I'm always looking for signs from her. And a couple of months ago, I was reading Laura Lynn Jackson's book, Signs. And I was just like thinking, like, so Haley sends me signs in the form of butterflies. And I was thinking, as I was reading it, like, she hasn't sent me a sign in a long time. And I flipped the page, and there was a picture of a dragonfly. So I said to Haley, how about you send me a dragonfly on a butterfly? And I look outside my window, and on a little butterfly statue of hers is a dragonfly.
Oh, I love it. That is synchronicity for sure. I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So since then, I've just started trying to talk to her more and ask her for more specific signs. Mm-hmm. So I asked her, like, to send me a sign in light form, whether that means light outside or light inside. And I went downstairs and I sat on the couch next to my husband, and the light started flashing.
No.
And I didn't say anything to him because he's a bit of a skeptic. I, like, held it in for, like, a day, and then the next night, we were getting ready to go to bed, and I told him what happened, because I just couldn't hold it in anymore, and I looked at him, and I said, what do you think? Like, do you believe that was her? And he goes, I don't know, Kristen, and then all of a sudden, our lights started going on and off with a bang, like, 7 times, until I said, okay, now I'm kind of scared, and then they stopped.
And I just, like, looked at... What did he
say? Like, I just looked at him, like, he just, like, looked at me, and, like, we didn't even say anything. Like, it was just, like, I don't, like, there wasn't a need to say anything.
Oh, I see.
Like, it was just, like, yeah. it was Haley being, like, I'm here, Daddy.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think at that point, don't you think at that point, too, he had to process it? You already were processing it from the night before. And, you know, we're overwhelmed, and now he's processing it like, okay, I think we got the message.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
That's really beautiful, though. I love that. Thank you, Kristen.
Yes, it's a beautiful sign. There's so much love, you know, so much love coming through.
A lot of effort, too.
Yeah, yes, I think so.
Persistent, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What a great story.
It is. Thank you. God is good, yeah.
I'd like to give the number again for those of you who haven't yet called but would love to call and share your story with us and with the audience, 888-627-6008 and 323-744-4831. It's Signs of Life, and tonight is all about your stories.
Yes, it's interesting in that experience that sometimes it just takes something like that to help us to pay attention. I mean, I'm thinking of Kristen's husband. It was Kristen, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Kristen's husband. I mean, it just, you know, once we begin to think maybe there is something other than what this meager worldview has allowed me to know, and then I think then the journey begins. You know, we're just more observant.
Well, and I think, too, you know, when, you know, the one caller was talking about how do I get more into this? And sometimes it's, you can't push. You have to just allow. You have to kind of let go and let it happen. You know, you have to trust. You have to trust big time, because, you know, there's so many times that something comes through and it is so mild, or it just kind of floats by, and you think, no, that couldn't have been. And then if you start paying attention or you start writing it down, you start realizing how often there's things happening all around us, and that, you know, you can, and especially like with the lights, I love, you know, when I get signs that are, you know, a physical light flashing, or, you know, something like a door closing or something, you know, interesting happening. You know, like I said, when my TV froze, and it froze to women in spirit, and I just busted out laughing, because it's so beautiful the way they can come through. Because, you know, think about it, our loved ones want to get a hold of us. It's not like they're, you know, upset with us or anything. It's they want to get through. They want to let us know they're okay.
Yes.
And I think that that's a big part, that, you know, when people realize that, you know, it's okay to let go, and when the time is right,
it will happen in its own way. We can't force mm-hmm. it and make it happen. We have to allow it to come through.
Yeah, and create the space, as you were talking
right.
about.
Exactly. Create the space, exactly. So that's
you
true.
Had, something you were going to share today, Janet?
Yeah, yeah. And if there's a caller, just, you know, I can stop and we can pick up where we left off. But
great.
I was going to talk about an interesting story in Diane Archangel's book, Afterlife Encounters. It's called Ordinary People and Extraordinary Experiences. And she did an online survey with people to find out about different encounters that they had had. And there was one encounter that was standing out that, you know, I kind of can relate to. And it was called Just Seeing Him Was All I Needed to Forgive. And it's Dana's survey. And it talked about, it said, a cousin from my mother's side of the family saw my father minutes after his death. And the family had been estranged since she was young, and so she was shocked when she heard, you know, that she had woke up at three in the morning on a Sunday, and at the foot of the bed was her dad, or her, I guess it was her uncle. And at breakfast, she had told her husband and children, I looked up and saw an old man standing there looking at me. He was radiant, a peaceful glow. And it wrote, it's been over 30 years since she had saw Uncle Ted, but she put, I know it was him and that he's dead. Then on Tuesday, they read in the newspaper that he had died at 3 a.m. that Sunday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
After all the year, after all those years, she had called, the cousin called, to describe her father in exact detail. And then she put, I had read that apparitions were hallucinations, so I had to wonder, how could she have had this hallucination, right? And she
yeah.
said, but she couldn't have, because the last time anybody had seen him, he had weighed over 200 pounds, and he had a head full of thick hair. And when she saw him, he had been thin and frail and wrinkled, and his hair was even thin and totally gray. And she described his final physical changes that only the doctor and nurse and her and the daughter knew.
A real
and she put,
story.
My cousin said, right. And she said, my cousin said, Uncle Ted didn't say anything because somehow he knew exactly, or somehow I knew exactly who he was, and he was there to make amends. And she put, for some reason, all the pain and anger I felt towards the family disappeared when I saw him like that. I can't believe it. Just seeing him was all I needed. I wasn't mad anymore at anyone, and it's okay. And she put, now her and her cousins talk. And I thought that was such a great story for the simple fact it said so many things in there. It told her, even after 30 years, somebody could come through, which I've had an experience like that. And not only that, he didn't have to say anything. She felt it. She felt the love. She felt everything he wanted to say, which, you know, people think, oh, you have to say, you have to talk, you have to speak, you have to say a message.
No,
but
no.
You don't. You can feel it. You can feel it all just in that one sense. And
we
I mean,
have another
just,
caller, Janet.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Melissa, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Hi.
Thank you for calling in, Melissa. What
yeah.
would you like to share?
Well, just about my dad. He died back in 2014, and, you know, he was a huge non-believer. I mean, if you couldn't nail it down, you didn't believe in it. So it's really amazing that since he has died, I get all these communications from him, lots of messages. And what seems so incredible is the last message he gave me, it was like 7 degrees outside last week or so. And all of a sudden, about 12 robins show up. And they're just yeah. right outside my deck, right outside. And they're all there, and they're freezing little tail feathers off. But, you know, that has to be from my dad. He's done this before. He's sent lots of blue jays before. And I've had these things checked out by a medium. So, you know, I know they're real. So it's just
that's amazing. I mean, I wonder mm-hmm. what kind of energy that takes mm-hmm. to send blue jays or, what was it, 27 degrees? It's a, yes, it's that
yes.
time of year. My
oh,
gosh.
These were bluebirds. I mean, these were robins here in winter.
Robins, yes.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, and they don't gosh. Show up in winter. They're springtime
yeah.
only. So,
oh, that's a beautiful story.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's really nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so, too. And a rainbow he sent me. I mean, as I say, I've confirmed all these things, so I know it's real. But one thing is amazing that was very personal to me is I decided to ask him for a hug. Just a second, my mac and cheese is done. Okay. Yeah, I'm cooking up dinner. I asked him at night when I was in bed, you know, I'd really love a hug from him. And all of a sudden, I felt this surge of energy. And, you know, I could tell it was him because it just was about ready to burst. And I did it again. And on another day, I asked him to do it, and I get the same thing that happened. And it got to the point where I was so uncomfortable that I had to ask him just to say hello another way.
Well, I mean, there's no way.
I think the
energy that must take from the other side. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, though. Yeah. I love it. I love that you can actually feel that energy around you.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And that must be what it's like. I don't know if mediums feel that when do they get a burst of energy like when they connect or
I believe so, yes. Like I believe we do. I think that, you know, it comes in different ways. I think that, you know, and you just said it perfectly, though, too. It depends on the person. It depends on who's coming through. You know, if there's a spirit that's very huggy, lovey, you know, you're going to feel or get a sense of something like that. Okay. But I think, you know, if you have somebody who they don't like to hug, they may be one that, you know, doesn't want to hug. So you just don't know. But I think with him coming through and knowing you needed it and you wanted that, then you could just, it was almost like you were feeling it, you know, it was extra. It was an extra, you know, burst of energy on top of that. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to hear. That's great. I haven't heard from my mom yet. And now that you say that it takes a lot of energy, maybe it's still a lot for her to do yet. She died more
recently.
That's right.
Give it time. Give it time. She'll come through. Give it time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Melissa. Well, these kinds of things certainly make us feel much closer to the other dimension of reality, don't they?
Definitely. Well, and you know, the thing is, you know, grief is shared. Where it's a, you know, you don't look at it like that because it's always so individual, but it really is because everyone has experienced it on some level and in some way. And so when, you know, everybody, when different people, when you're listening to, you know, each story, you can kind of understand, you know, another dimension of it, I guess is a good way to say it, or another angle of it. And I think that also helps someone who's grieving, and that's important.
When you said grief is shared, it made me think that you meant on the other side there is grief, too, sometimes for what we're going through. And I had not thought about that, but after our son died, I had a vision with him, but I also saw my mother, and my mother was crying. And that so disturbed me. She'd only died a year earlier. And I just became very disturbed about that, wondering what could be going on the other side that would make her cry like that. And the next day I was in our son's room, and he had made it before he was in an accident. He had, as though he knew he was going, he had painted it white, and he had put up the shamanic pictures of Susan Boulay, and it was like a meditation room. So I was in there meditating, and suddenly I felt my mother's presence, just so completely felt her presence and her love for me and her grieving for me that I was going through this. And yet the grieving wasn't something that made me sad that she was experiencing. It was more like the love that she was feeling for me. But I knew that that's what it was. As you said, Janet, it's the feeling sometimes, not the words. There was no word spoken, but I knew that my mother was fine, but that it was, she was expressing her unity with my feeling on the other side.
Right, and that's exactly it. I mean, they can feel what we're feeling and what we're experiencing as well. And, you know, we're thinking that, you know, we're in grief and we're missing someone we love, and yet at the same time, they can feel that. And so, you know, they want to offer comfort in some way. And maybe they, you know, maybe you're seeing it. Maybe, you know, it will take a little longer for, you know, some people, who knows.
But it is, it's really, it's important to understand that, you know, it's like they don't go over there and, yeah, they might be having, you know, a good time and enjoying themselves, that they're out of their body that was, you know, filled with pain or, you know, whatever they had to go through. But they're also still here with us. And, you know, one important thing to remember is that it's not, they're not in the past. They're still here. You know, and I think if people would realize that they're still around, it's, you know, people say, well, you know, I had a son or I had a daughter, and you're like, well, you still do. They're on the other side. They're still here. And if you mm-hmm. remember that, you can keep that connection always, which, you know, parents, of course, will. But in the same sense, it's looking at it in a different way, in a different light, and understanding
that
they're
with you. That's true, because if we think of past, present, and future are one, mm-hmm.
right.
you know, we can experience that even in this dimension sometimes, but certainly in the other dimension they do.
Right. Like, if I know someone, well, I do know people that have passed that have been 20 and 30 years ago, and when I had gotten a message like 20 or 30 years later, I was floored. I was, you know, when it first happened, and this happened probably 20 years ago even, and I thought, I didn't know that could happen. I realized, of course, they were around us, but I didn't realize that I could still get a clear message. And
yeah,
so I think
good.
That was so surprising, too.
Yes.
That's amazing. Well, yeah. We're just about at the top of the hour. We have about 2 minutes, minute and a half left. And I'd just like to give one more reminder for everyone to please sign up for the webinar on the Medium Explosion for March 17th by going to foreverfamilyfoundation.org's website, event page, and find out all about this exciting webinar that we will not miss. And Janet is going to leave us with parting words for this evening.
Yes. It is a Mahayama prayer. I believe that's how you say it. It's, may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Jenna.
And so it is.
Yes.
That's right.
See you next month.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we hope to hear you again with us on the line on the last, or I should say the fourth Thursday
of every month.
Yes. Good night.
Good night.